verses, Matthew 8, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2. Last week we began a new series on how to keep your healing. Understand this, when I say how to keep, the Lord is not trying to take it from you. There is a thief that is loose in the earth, and we don't want him coming and taking something that rightfully belongs to us, something that is rightfully our covenant right. I want to touch on a few things this morning. That was one thing I forgot. When you come, you know, some of you are new at this. Some of you haven't been around this kind of ministry. But when you come up for healing, I've had people come stand in front of me, and I've laid hands on them. I did this in a Bible study one time, and I've done it here in the prayer line. People will come up, and they'll come up. And I lay hands on them, and I would get more of a charge if I go like this when it's real a lot of static electricity, and I go and touch a doorknob. Yeah. I'd get more out of it than when I've laid hands on some of those people. It's just as dead as a doornail. Yeah. See, if you don't come up in faith, believing that you're going to receive, you know, if you don't come up, if you don't like me. You don't think I can do anything? Then wait till she gets up and ministers. You know, if you don't have any respect for a minister, you don't believe he can do anything, that's what you'll get. Yeah. Nothing. If you come up to, let's just see what he can do. That's the same attitude. There's nothing to it. And I'm getting the high sign from the back that I forgot something else. Shut off these lights here. This is something that Richard Roberts sent to me the other day. It's a short video clip of him ministering in a service. I want you to see how he does this, so that you can get acclimated to his ministry. We're just going to see a short bit of this clip.
We are really blessed to have Richard Roberts with us, and I know that his resume, we could say a lot of things, but the main thing is he loves the Lord, and God has used him. I've ministered with Richard a number of times. We've had him here before, and we saw a lot of miracles happen, and I think I first met him at Creflo Dollars. I hear him at Kenneth Copeland's every year. And, of course, you know, his father was powerful, and God used him. And I don't know if he'll share all these things. I'll let him give you the details. But his father laid hands on him. And I believe that same power and anointing that operated through Oral Roberts now flows through Richard Roberts, and I guarantee if your heart is open, you will receive.
I have an announcement tonight. Are you ready for it? Yeah. Something good is going to happen to you. Something good is going to happen to you. We had teaching this morning. Tonight we're going to have a demonstration. For the difference in the ministry on this earth of Jesus was signs and wonders. The multitudes followed him, the scripture says, because of the miracles that he did. There were others who preached the word. There were others who taught. But his was confirmed with miracles and signs and wonders. And we must have the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And I thank God for that. God said he's going to do hundreds of miracles tonight. So many, how many of you can tell there's a difference? I mean, you can tell there's a healing that's happening. Put your hand up. I mean, hold it up high. I coming. You can really tell there's a healing that's happened just since we prayed. Put your hand up if you can tell. If you can tell there's a healing and you absolutely know it, step out and come down here to the front right now. Just line up all the way across the front. You got nothing to do tonight besides hear testimonies. Let's let God confirm His word. What happened to you?
I've got shrapnel in my shoulder.
Did you say shrapnel?
Yes.
And what happened when we prayed?
I couldn't do this before.
Wait, you couldn't do what?
What you're looking me do right now, I could not do.
You couldn't do that? What happened to you when we prayed?
Oh, I have osteoarthritis in my knee, and now I feel very light. I feel like I'm new again. I mean, I can run.
Osteoarthritis in your knee? Take those stairs. What happened to you?
Both shoulders. I couldn't do this at all. Sorry.
No pain?
All gone? All gone.
What happened to you?
The pain in my back and pain in my knees, and as you prayed, the pain departed. The peace,
pain's gone?
The peacefulness set in. Yeah, the pain's gone.
What happened to you?
My knees were healed.
How do you know?
I had a double knee replacement 2 years ago, and I still had swelling and a lot of pain.
Any swelling now?
No.
The pain's gone?
Pain's gone.
Praise God.
Yep.
Put a smile on his face. What happened to you?
I had pain in my shoulders, pain in my hips, from the back. I had ringing in my ears. My vision was blurred. All of this is gone. It's gone.
That's an overall healing. That's an overall. What happened to you?
My heart was healed.
How do you know?
Well, I can touch my hands like this. My pulse does not stop every fifth beat.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
What happened to you?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is awesome. My eyes just recently, I started having severe dry eyes. And right before I came here, I paid $100 for a little bottle called Allrex. Their eye drops I've been putting in. My friend that's with me, she owns a gym, and I went to her gym the other night with glasses on doing CrossFit because I couldn't see the faces of the people 5 or 6 feet away from me. The eye drops helped a little bit. When you called out blurred vision tonight, I opened my eyes and I could see people's faces. I could read that sign and nothing is worried. Thank you, Jesus!
Jump up right now. You need healing. Jump up right now. You need healing. Jump up right now. You need healing. Jump up right now. In the name of Jesus, right now in the midst of the testimonies, I send the word to you. According to Psalm 107, verse 20, which says He sent His word and healed them. You can send the word. I send the word to you for healing. 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 In the name of Jesus. What happened? What happened to you?
Well, you were talking about Eustachian tubes, and really the whole left side of my body has just been off, and with my back and everything. But when you said Eustachian tubes, I always put my hand up here, and it's like I've always had like just a dull, achy pain, and it's gone. And then even from my back, and I just feel like all my back and hips have been aligned, and there's always been pain there. And
I heard bones moving. I remember I said that. I said, I heard bones. I heard bones creaking and moving back in place. I heard that.
I know God's healed me. I just know it because it's not there anymore.
What happened when you prayed?
So I came here with a shooting pain in my shoulder, and I just didn't know where it came from. And when you prayed, it got healed, but I also had pain in my knees, and they were...
So he doesn't really come and lay hands on it, but he... It's just as much so as laying hands on you when He speaks that word. So, I'm going to touch on a few things this morning that we talked about last week, just as a point of review. Brother Hagin would talk to us about the healing movement that began at the end of World War II. And he watched a lot of these people, the ministers that were in these meetings, and how they ministered to people. And he saw other ministers getting a lot of people healed, but upon checking afterwards, they would ask, how many of you got healed at the meeting? You know, a large percentage. And then, are you still healed? And the number that kept it dropped drastically. And he said, you know, that's not good that people get healed and then they lose it. And he was talking to us about the changes that he made in his ministry. He says, you know, I can do the same thing and get a lot of people healed, but I want them to get healed and stay healed. You know, that gives more glory to God than the fact that you just got healed in the meeting and then you went home and lost it. So that's what we want to do this morning. We're wanting to lay a foundation for this teaching about healing and how to keep your healing. To do that, you're going to have some kind of a foundation. It's not going to just happen by accident.
Amen.
You know, there are people say that will make the statement, if the Lord heals somebody, they're going to stay healed. They're not going to get healed and lose it. Well, that sounds good. But Jesus told us to be aware. There's a thief out there. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But then he turns around on the other hand and he says, but I have come that you might have life and have it in excess, till it's overflowing abundant.
Amen.
You know, you can, to have a foundation, you can believe a lot of different things. You know, we touched on this last week about the different things that will come up, and people will say, well, I believe, and you know, some of it is their experience, and some of it was what grandma taught, and Aunt Doodad, she said this. You know, I was telling you, you know, when you get over into relatives, don't cross them. Just forget it. Yeah. Let them alone and go on and talk to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because when the relatives, I don't know what it is, but when relatives come into the situation and you say, no, that's not right, ooh, you have just stepped on a landmine. Yeah. Oof. But anyway, you can believe a lot of different things, but it is only believing the Word of God that is going to produce results. That's the only thing that you need to know. You've got to believe His Word. And you know, if something that you are believing crosses the Word of God, be wise. Choose God's side. I'm going to take sides with Him and His Word.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the safest place to be.
Amen.
And the most productive.
Yes.
Okay? Matthew 8:17. I'm not going to read verses 16 and 17, just 17. Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law when they came in the house. She had a fever. And they got him to lay hands on her, to touch her, to pray for her, to speak. You know, you go back and read all three different Gospels, and each one says something different. Yeah. But each one is compatible with the other.
Yeah.
He spoke to the fever. He laid his hands on her. So if you put them all together, he laid his hands on her, spoke to her, spoke to the fever. And let's see, what was the other one? Anyway, there was one more thing, the third thing, but he did all three of them. If you put it all together, he laid his hands on her and he spoke to the fever and it left like that. And rebuked it, and she got up and waited on him. So then in verse 16, and in the evening, they brought people to him that were demon-possessed, and people that were sick, and he healed them all. And in verse 17, that it might be, he did this, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I changed the our to my. Okay? Well, people have said, well, you know, if he did this to fulfill what the prophet said, then it's done. And he doesn't do it anymore. Well, it says here, he took my. So if I wasn't there, then it's still my right to have it. Isaiah 53. If you look in Isaiah, you will find Matthew 8:17. Surely he himself bore our griefs, our sicknesses and diseases, and carried our sorrows, our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Well, he was afflicted with these. He was afflicted because he took the curse for us. The curse didn't come on him because he did something wrong. He took my sicknesses and my diseases. He bore my sins that I might go free. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare my sins in his own body on the tree. Whew. Can you imagine all of the sins of humanity being laid upon him as he hung there on the cross? There's a place in Isaiah it says that his visage, the way he looked, was so marred he didn't even resemble a human. All of that sin upon him, all of our sicknesses and diseases upon him, all the curse. Who his own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. There's a twofold purpose in what we're doing here that I want you to get a hold of, because there, first of all, to establish the scriptural fact that divine healing is in our physical body belongs to us. It's our right. And to help those who need healing to get healed. I had a videotape one time many years ago. It was from a church in Iowa. Where is Iowa? Just next door to California?
No.
Okay, Iowa. It's back. No. I don't want to go to Idaho. We're going back east. Iowa. Okay, this was a Lutheran church. And this Lutheran pastor had gotten filled with the Spirit and was ministering healing. Okay, and he was having marvelous results. These people had never heard about healing. So they're babies. And he's having tremendous results. They had never heard these things that I'm talking about. So he was getting people healed that had never heard it. To help, number two, to help those who have been healed stay healed. Because it is one thing to receive something from God, and it's another thing to maintain it. Maintain it. You know, Lydia she came back one time from Spain. She had gone two consecutive times and was just really pushing it. She went to minister to her mother, went and healed ministered healing school one time, and then another time they was moving furniture and stuff. They were moving to another town. Is that right? And she came back one time, and second time, and to make a long story short, she came back and she had mono. That's the term that I was always familiar with, but it was always a term that young people got. We had had some children in the children's home that where we worked, and after dark, one of the guys in our dorm would take the screen off, and a girl from another dorm would come over, and they were kissing through the window. He came down with mono. I said, "Leave the kissing bandit alone. She's got bugs." And he had a hard time with it. I mean, he was in a bad way. She came back, and the doctors told her, they said, "You know, this is something that usually young people get, not someone your age." And she got in bed with her Bibles and, you know, Gloria Copeland style, all of this nest around her, and she was just feeding and feeding and feeding and got rid of it quick. Yes. What, 2-3 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. And she went back to Spain one time. She was up in the attic, in the bedroom up in the attic, and the symptoms tried to come back on her. How many times did this happen? Twice? And she says, "No, no, no, you will not come back. I'm redeemed." And she started pulling out her sword and going after the devil. And the symptoms left. She was maintaining what she had. Last week we saw that healing belongs to us right now. You say, "But I'm not healed." It's your right. And we're going to talk about how to lay hold of it. This is not something for the millennial, the millennium. And for those of you that don't know what the millennium is, there's a 1,000-year reign once Jesus comes back for the church. We are in heaven for 1,000 years with him. And we have a glorified body during that period of time. When he comes back, sounds the trumpet, the dead in Christ rise first, and then we are right behind him. And as you are coming up, you are changed. You have a glorified body. Remember Jesus walked through the wall, and the disciples were in there eating? And he said, "I'm sorry, I left my key in heaven, and I just went through the wall." He had a glorified body. Glorified doesn't mean you don't ever eat anything. He gave us an example. He asked the disciples, "You got any fish?" He ate that. He ate some honeycomb. We're going to the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Amen.
That means there's going to be food. For those of you that are foodies, I'm not sure if they're going to have chicken fried steak with gravy in there or not. My wife is going, "No, they won't have that. That's not good for you. I'll have a glorified body."
No, I didn't say that.
But we will be impervious from that point on to sickness and disease. We need healing here and now, because this is where the cooties are right now. I take Benji out in the evening before we go to bed, and I turn on the light in the backyard, and I'm sitting on one of the benches, and boy, it's like a magnet. The mosquitoes come in, you know. That's kind of like sickness and disease. They come. And, you know, I'm going like this. You keep swatting sickness and disease away with the name of Jesus. Here, in this life. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter is looking back now at the cross. He was there. He watched what happened. And he's looking back and he's telling us, by whose stripes you were. Past tense. You were healed. Now you see, a lot of people right here at this point, they go, tilt, 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 tilt. Well, if I was, how come I'm still having all these symptoms? I'm dealing with this and that and all these other things. By whose his stripes healing was provided for you. Yeah. He has healed you. Yeah. You know, you can mentally try to fight this thing and it's not going to work. It's a spiritual deal.
Yeah.
Now just keep that, write that down. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's ministers that will tell you that these three references do not refer to physical healing. If you go back and you read Isaiah 53, just about all scholars will tell you this is Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And what he will do in his redemptive work. You see our sicknesses. We see our sins and iniquities. We see our sicknesses. And if you dig into it, you'll see the curse of poverty and lack. And you see, if you study the word, you'll see the curse is there. He bore these things so that we could go free. He took the curse that we might have the blessing.
Yes.
This is it's a part of our redemptive right now. Now, if you stop and think about this, there are people that talk about spiritual healing. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've been working my way through this. And it's been a long, long walk. And I'm getting better, but I'm trying to get there. You're trying to do it.
Yeah.
It's already done.
Amen.
It's not a long walk. I got saved like that. I didn't get part saved down there at the front of the altar when I walked forward when I was a child. I didn't get partly saved and then, you know, as time went, I got more and more. No, you did not. You either got it or you don't got it. That's the way salvation is. Thank God. You know, I mean, that would be terrible to get halfway saved and then die. What are you going to do then? No, you got it all. This is not a reference here to spiritual healing. Okay? Our spirit is born again. It's not healed. We are given a new spirit. And now listen to me real close. You are given a brand new spirit when you're born again. Now, the things in your past are in your mind, in your memory. They are things that the devil was there and he brings things up. You, on the other hand, have to renew your mind to what the Word says. It says in the Scriptures that God said, I will not remember your past. It's gone. In His mind, the blood of Jesus completely washed it away.
Yes.
You know, when I was in elementary school, sometimes I would stay after school to wipe down the chalkboard. You take a wet wash rag and you wipe the entire thing down. But you know, sometimes there was slight traces of things. The teacher didn't like it. She said, no, go back and do it again. I don't want to see anything. That's not God's work. You get a whole new chalkboard. Blackboard, marker board, whatever you want to play with. I don't care. In the mind of God, your past does not exist any longer. You can go and talk to him about it, which kind of is offensive because he doesn't remember it. And he'll, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, the Lord says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, amen.
I don't know what you're talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the Amplified. Listen to the wording here. If any man is engrafted in Christ, engrafted. You ever seen anybody graft a cutting from one tree into another tree? When they put it together, they bind it up and put stuff on it to make it grow. And that, after a while, you can take the bandage, you know, the wrapping off, you can take the string off, and it's there. It's bonded together. Which is, all I can say is, this is a human comprehension of what the Word is saying, but the Word of God goes so much further. It's not an engrafting. We become one. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says that. Okay? I'm trying my best to get the concept across to you, but I'm limited. I'm limited to my reasoning. I can only go so far. What Christ does takes that on, just psh. But anyway, it says here, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. The fresh and new is you. That is the way Father looks at you. Think about some of the dumb things that you did when you were young. No, don't think about them, but you know what they are. You know, the Lord never brings those things back up. If they come back up, guess who's doing it? Now, when God, just stick with me, okay? When God heals a person, he does not heal them physically. Now, just hold on. Don't put your foot on the brake. The healing comes through your spirit, and that in turn affects the physical. All right? Now you probably sitting there going, what? Huh? 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 What? Huh? Because see, you can only think natural.
Yeah.
Let's drag this over into the spiritual. Amen. The reason he does this is because he heals you through faith, and faith is of the heart.
That's right.
You know, and when we see the word heart, you can interchange that usually with spirit.
Yes.
So let's do that.
Yes, so good. Yeah.
The reason he does this is because he heals you through faith, and faith is of the spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Romans 5, look there with me. Romans chapter 5. And I hope you are not using a phone or an iPad or something or another. You need to see this in your own Bible.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's kind of like the GPS in my phone. I'll enter an address, and sometimes it takes me to somewhere else. The roads have changed, and I'm someplace else. And Lydia gets after me sometimes. We are in Dallas, and we're going somewhere. We need to go this way, and she tells me, "You go this way." And I know how to get back here and go up that way. And she goes, "No, Lydia." No. Lydia says, "No, you need to be going." I said, "You know, if I do that, that's taking me out of Texas. I need to go back over here to Dallas." I don't 100% trust my GPS. But anyway, this I trust. Therefore, being justified by faith. Okay? By faith, we are justified. We are declared righteous. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Say access.
Access.
I have access. And the rest of you, what about you? Do you have access?
I have
access. Notice it says by faith.
Yes.
I have access by faith into this grace wherein I stand. I stand here now in grace. And it's by faith. Okay? I've seen this again and again. People are trying to contact God with their mind to get healing. They're trying to reach out with their reasoning and their rational. And when they stop struggling and start believing it from here, they're healed. Just like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Romans 10:10. For with the heart. Now you say, I'm taking you back up here to this part about the reason he does this, the reason he heals us this way. Notice it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness.
Yes, yes.
You believe with your heart, not your spirit. I mean, with your spirit, not your noodle.
Yes.
So God contacts you through your spirit, not your mind.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
And he contacts us not through our body, because he's a spirit. He is not a mind. He's not a man. Although he has a spirit body over in the spirit world, but God's not a physical being. He's a spirit. So he contacts us through our spirit, and we contact him through our spirit. Look at John 4. I'm going to read this out of two translations, King James and the New King James. John 4:24. I'm so glad they put this in here. God is a spirit.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Okay, God is a spirit. The New King James says, God is spirit. You say, what's the difference? What's true? What's the right one? Both. Let's say it this way. God is a spirit. That is a classification of beings. God is spirit. God is spirit. Demons are spirit. Satan is a spirit. Angels are spirits. You are a spirit. You know, when you get a hold of that one concept right there, it will do you so much good. You are a spirit. I live. This is what holds me to this planet. When this stops functioning, I'm out of here.
Yep.
I am a spirit. I have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions.
Yes.
And I live in a body. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, what we want is this in here to be in dominance. And if you get your mind renewed, your spirit and your mind will take authority over this and rule. But you see, a lot of people don't want to take the time to make this renewed so that these two, the spirit and the mind, can overcome, dominate, have supremacy over the body. The body is amoral. Do you know that? What do you mean, amoral? A means not. Right? It's neutral. It'll do whatever you make it do. It has done a lot of things that it shouldn't have done, and you were in agreement with it doing it. Now you're born again. Now this and the Spirit say, no, we're not doing that anymore. And your flesh is going, no, let's go. We want another donut. I want one of those cinnamon rolls. Get over here. Ladies, please take it easy on the husband. So when a man is healed, you know, men doctors, that's one of the things that they're supposed to be doing, healing, right? Believe it or not, men do heal. But he has to do it either through the mind or through the physical senses, meaning the body. You know, you see a lot of people in homeless people out on the street. They've been out on the street a long time, and it begins to affect them. And they need help. But when God comes on the scene as the healer, he heals through your spirit. Now, you know, there's a lot of people, they get to talking about God and they say, oh, I want to see God. Like that's going to turn things around for you. You want to see God work? Look at Jesus. People say, well, I want to hear God. You want to hear God? Listen to his word. Jesus told Philip over in John 14, verse 9, he said something, and Philip said, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He identified with his Father so much, you hear him say things like this. I and my Father are one. So, well, what you're saying then, he's God. I say it like this. Jesus in his ministry is the will of God in action. Write that down. Jesus in his ministry is the will of God in action. You remember there's a place in John, it says, I can of myself do nothing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he attributes the works to God.
Yes.
He says, I say nothing of myself, only what I hear my Father say.
Yes.
Over in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, a man comes running up to Jesus, and he's talking to him about his son's demon possession. And if you notice what Jesus in reply has said to this man. He says, if thou canst believe, he's saying, do something, have mercy on us, do something. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So Jesus, when the man comes up to him and starts talking to him, he immediately starts working on the man's believing, which had to do with his spirit. Jesus turns his plea, turns to this man that is pleading for help. Jesus turns it around and says, it's not a matter of what I can do. Yeah. It's a matter of what can you believe.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Do you know he's still saying that to us today?
Yes.
People are wanting this and they're wanting that. And they're, I wish the Lord would do like this and do. What can you believe? And see, if you can't believe, here's how you change that.
Yes.
If you feed on this enough, it'll change what you believe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. He sent this word that he sent under the old covenant was spoken by prophets. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant, it's the Lord Jesus being, he's the one that's speaking. He's the Word. He is the Word of God, the living Word. He sent his word and healed us. Therefore, in the mind of God, you're already healed.
Yes, amen.
You know, a lot of people are begging God for healing.
Yeah.
And if you look in His Word, He says, I've already healed you.
Yeah.
But you say, but I'm not healed. But He says, I have healed you. But I'm not healed. Look, touch, feel it. But he said, I've already done it.
That's right.
The smart thing is, take sides with him.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, I'm healed.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, Jesus took my stripes. The stripes that were laid on him, by those stripes, I'm healed. Father, I thank you, I am. And you'll be surprised, things will change if you keep that in your mouth. Instead of the unbelief that you were saying. You see, we're not talking on the normal physical level. If you're thinking on the normal physical level, then it's not going to work for you. Take it up several notches. Think his thoughts. Speak his words. You know, when Jesus, or when the Father stepped out in the dark and said, light be, the angel said, but there's no light. And he said, light be. And light was. Every time he said something, it wasn't, but he spoke it. It became. You are a spiritual being.
Yeah.
Your citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
I was reading something this morning. I have a Euro News app on my phone, and I like to see what's going on in Europe. The Queen is dead, and it had a man holding the passport, the British passport, and it had something about the Queen and her word and this and that. And they were saying, will the British passport still be any good were traveling. Because she backed everything. She backed your security overseas. When you went somewhere, she was saying that you will be provided for, you will be secure. But she ain't around no more. Excuse me, she isn't around anymore. Yeah, really. Speak the Queen's English. So she's no longer there to back this. And they were asking the government, will this still be good? And if they have any sense, it'll still be good until it expires. Otherwise, it's going to cost them a bundle to replace all those passports. My 2 cents for what that's worth. They didn't ask me, but I'm saying. Now, let me close with this morning. Often, there are times that God will let somebody believe for other people that don't know anything, or they are genuinely babies, spiritual babies. He will let other people believe for them for healing when they're in that walk. He will meet them at a lower level, but God expects you and I, those that have been born again and know the Word, He expects us to walk in the light of the Word. Come over here, Janet. Come here and sit down right here. I'm gonna read something to you that I closed with last week, because I want you to get this. Mark 4:24 out of the Amplified. It's talking about Jesus, and he said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing." You know, I find a lot of people that will hear things on the TV, on the radio. There's a whole list, a variety of ways that people hear things that are not God's Word. And there's even ways that you hear what is supposed God's Word, but it's unbelief. Even here, Jesus is saying, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue or power and knowledge that will come back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Here's the Passion Translation. I have fallen in love with this one. Then he said to them, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. You know, if this were on the news before CNN came on, it might have stopped some of that lying. Be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. For as you do, more understanding will be given to you. And according to your longing, is there any longing in you?
Yes.
How longing is your longing? That's good. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. For those who listen with open hearts, I would say like this, open and ready to receive hearts, will receive more revelation. But those who don't listen with open hearts will lose what little they think they have. Let's all stand. Janet came up this morning and said, you know, the guy that sits over here, Bruce Hartnett, he was the contractor that built this building. He is a mandolin player, and he is in
Winfield,
Kansas at a bluegrass festival. And he got out of his car and tried to unhook.
He doesn't drive, they have to be driven, but he was trying to move his RV to a different spot. And so he said he kind of overextended, and he felt a pop in his back. And they took him to the hospital, and they did x-rays and said the 11th vertebrae had been ruined and that it would mean surgery. So he wanted me to pray. I prayed over him this morning, too. So.
You know, one day I was in here, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, there's a grace in this place for miracles.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's a grace. Hallelujah. And I haven't been pushing this the way I should. Where is the 11th vertebra? You.
I don't know what it is.
Right? Okay, Mike. Right here? Lydia. Come here.
About like that, yeah. Right around here.
So, Janet is standing in for Bruce. Okay? And so she's going to be our point of contact for him. So I want all of you to hook up with us, to agree with us. Father, we thank you. You said, you spoke to me and said, there is a grace in this place for miracles. Lord, I lay my hands on Bruce's back. And I thank you for a miracle right now, that as I touch Janet, that miracle goes into his back, restoring everything that has been damaged, replacing it supernaturally. So, Father, now I thank you that that healing flows, that miracle flows into this situation. And we give you glory, Father. We We thank you, Father. We thank you for working in his back, for restoring, for a miracle in his back right now. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Brother Hagin would always say in healing school, faith gives action to the power. Amen. I had to meditate on that. Because, you know, when you're raised to understand a concept intellectually, it can work against you. You know, because you're just processing everything through your intellect. But praise God, it finally sunk in. You know. Faith is your faith and my faith, which has faith has nothing to do with what you see, feel, you know, what you have experienced or others have experienced with a book, you know, of anatomy, physiology, or whatever science may say. That has all of that has its validity and its function in the physical realm. But when we're talking about faith, that's not the physical realm. You know, and we heard that. So it's faith, in other words, receiving God's word. See, the worst thing that we can be is stubborn, set in our own ways, think that we know it. That is our way or the highway. You know? That's what Jesus said. If you would have the faith of a child, you'd be like a child. A child that has not, you know, gone to college yet. Has not been taught all those things that could happen or could not happen. Or has not gone through the rough, rough experiences of life. So faith is what gives action to the power. The power of God is present to heal.
Always.
Yes. And where we need to, where we're going, where we're going as a church, where we're going as pastors, where we're going as believers, is we're going to receiving of the power of God that is present. But faith is what gives action to the power. It takes faith. You see? I had somebody one time in healing school years ago that before they knew it, bless their hearts, they're with the Lord now. They spoke out loud. I don't know if anyone here was there that day. And this person said, well, if I have to believe for it, then might as well just resign to living and dying with this condition. But you know, faith is of the heart. Just keep on listening to the word. Keep on feeding. Amen. Keep on giving your ears to hear. And it'll produce faith. You don't have to produce faith. You don't have what it takes to produce it. The word of God has it. Hear it and be healed. Because faith is going to come. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's that.
Amen.
Amen. So glory to God. This is a place for miracles.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for revelation coming to people.
Yeah.
That their eyes are opened and they're seeing more than they've ever seen before. We give you praise for this. And we thank you for the Spirit of God helping us through the week, causing us to grow more. We thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Turn and greet somebody around you, and you're dismissed.
Give me